everybody, and welcome to the SWATcast. My name's Simon Ward, and I'm the founder of thetriathloncoach.com and the SWAT Inner Circle, the number one resource for performance-minded triathletes just like you. And this is the 15-minute weekly show featuring practical, usable advice from the best athletes, coaches, and experts from the world of triathlon to help you get the most from your training time and maximize your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. Now, if you'd like my special gift, the best training strategies for 20 years of coaching and competing squeezed down into just 3 pages of content, just hop along to our website, thetriathloncoach.com, and download it from there, or email triathlonsuccess to Lucy at thetriathloncoach.com and she'll send you that out. But that's enough of that today. I want to get rid of the fluff and on to today's guest. And I'm really, really excited about this lady here today. She's Alison Rose. She is one of Britain's top physiotherapists. If you've heard of an elite triathlete, there's a good chance that she's treated them. And I'm really pleased to welcome you today. So, Alison, hello to you.
Hi, Simon.
Now, it's although the viewers can't see this, you've had your hair specially done for this podcast, haven't you? So you're taking this seriously.
Can't be online without good hair.
That's right, that's right.
Attention to detail, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, attention to detail, marginal gains. If there was a little bit of hair over your ear, you might not have hear the question properly. Anyway, look, I told you beforehand, and I said to you, we've got 15 minutes on the clock, and we just coined a phrase, didn't we? Speed rehab speed dating, that's what we called it. So are you ready for rehab speed dating?
Let's go.
Okay, let's go. So you get lots of triathletes. You see Britain's top elite triathletes. I don't think we need to name them, but they've all been through your clinic. And you see lots of age groupers as well. In your opinion, what's the number one reason why triathletes end up in your clinic?
To be honest, it's the running part of it. I think swimming and cycling, you can get away with doing large volumes, but it most of the injuries would be running related.
Okay. And can you give us a percentage on that? Because I think that's quite important.
To be honest, you're probably looking at 80%, I would have said. And it's not so much just the running, but it's the knock-on effect of the other disciplines on the running. But it's generally, because running is obviously a very much a weight-bearing sport, that will be the discipline that people actually get the injury doing.
I've heard that cycling can contribute to running injuries, particularly from the position you're on the bike, tight hips. But is that true?
There's a number of reasons we've found that, you know, it's quite possible to do hours and hours and hours on the bike. So you can get obviously very tired. That tiredness not only makes you tired when you're on the bike, but then that tiredness, you'll bring that over into the running, which can change the way you run. We've had an awful lot of foot injuries with the triathletes, and we're actually starting to put that down quite often to the cycling shoes. So we, particularly the girls, they'll tend to get foot problems because of these very, very hard shoes, which, you know, I think the cyclists don't mind as much because they don't use the shoes as their feet as much for running on. And then the other part of the problem is the sitting position on the bike. So you're using your buttock muscles, your glute muscles in a very elongated position, which is completely the opposite of what you would want them to do when you're actually running, when you need to use them in a much more inner range or shortened position.
Okay, and I guess the opposing muscle to the glutes is the hip flexors. So if the glutes are stretched, the hip flexors will be too tight.
Exactly. You get that double whammy of glutes stretched, hip flexors are too tight because they're trying to give you a bit more stability because you're not getting that from around the back. But also, obviously, cycling, if you're pulling up with your hip flexors against a resistance, yeah, then you're going to get a tightening and strengthening effect from that as well.
So it's all about the glutes. I've been telling my friends that for years, you know, if you have good glutes, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong, and that is, you know, that's the basis of where everything works from. So that controls things further down, so it controls what your feet do and the positions that they may hit the floor and how, in what kind of stability they hit the floor. But also, if you've got good strong glutes and a really good pelvis position, you've got your rib cage on the top of that, which helps with breathing and all the stability further up. So yeah, really, really important section of the body to get right.
So I come to you with an Achilles problem and I say to you, Alison, tell me what's wrong with my Achilles. You could quite likely say to me, Simon, it's because you're tight in the shoulder blade area or you're tight in the pectorals. And that's cascading down through your rib cage, through your hips, making you run differently. And that's the reason why your Achilles is sore. It's not necessarily that I've just got, Achilles that are potential and prone to being injured.
No, and to be honest, more of the chronic Achilles that I see, and even the acute Achilles that I see, or, you know, even, you know, anything from the knee down, they quite often, particularly with triathletes, will have the problem much further up. And I always say to people, you know, if the top half of you isn't moving very well, so if you can't rotate your upper body, and I think triathletes are particularly bad at this because the hours that you sit on a bike, your top, your body's fixed, your arms are fixed, and you tend to get off the bikes and run like that, unlike runners who tend to use their arms more.
Yeah.
But if you're not getting that rotation at the top, you'll have to rotate somewhere down the body. And if you think about what happens on the floor, you know, ideally you'll have a little bit of rotation at your ankle, a little bit at your knee and your hip and all the way up to the neck. You get all these little counter rotations all the way through to the top. But if you block out some of that, something has to rotate instead. And that's generally your foot on the floor. So you get that screwing effect as your foot rotates off the floor, which I think quite often leads to the bony stress problems, calf problems, shin splints, Achilles problems, because your feet just can't move as well as they should do.
Yikes. Sounds like I should be really careful when I'm running then next.
Well, it's a nightmare. It's one of those ones that, you know, unless you hit the root of the problem, your Achilles won't get better. And people, they rest and they'll do all of their rehab and the eccentric loading, and then they start running again and they haven't got rid of the bits at the top.
Yeah.
Which are so key for, particularly for triathletes. Obviously, you then get frustrated because, you know, things don't get better when you start training again. But, you know, it is so important to get everything right all the way through the body.
So whenever we talk to people about triathlon, everybody thinks that swimming's a hassle because you have to go to the swimming pool. You know, you can't just, well, most of us can't. You can't just hop into the pool in your back garden or even pop next door to swim in the local pool. You're going to have to make a journey. Cycling's a bit of a hassle, particularly in the winter, because you've got to get all your winter kit on. So, you know, that takes 15 minutes. But running's always been great because you just pull on a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, get lace up your shoes and go out of the back door and you're off and running. But I must say that, and I don't think I'm alone here, and I talk about this with some of my other aged colleagues, that it seems like I do more preparation to run now than actual running. Is that something that you find, and is that something you'd actually be recommending?
Oh, for definite. I think rehab and the preparation is almost the fourth discipline in triathlon, or the fifth, because I think isn't transition the fourth one.
Yeah. Well, the partying afterwards is important as well.
Yeah, but it's, you know, you need to do the preparation work, and all endurance athletes, one of the things, you know, they've got a particular ethos that more miles is better. It's the same for endurance runners and endurance swimmers, and, you know, yes, but that will reinforce lots and lots of bad habits. And quite often, you know, the load that we're putting through the body actually exceeds the strength capacity of the tendons and the muscles, at which point they break down and we get frustrated. So just doing all of those, and I call them non-negotiables, those are the things that keep us healthy. And it doesn't have to be hours and hours and hours in a week. You know, little bits around some of the sports or some of the disciplines that you're doing will help to keep you healthy.
So let's say the average triathlete runs 2 to 3 hours. They probably run 2 or 3 times a week, and they probably, the total volume for that is probably two to three hours. And if they're running on average, say 11K an hour, they're going to be covering 25 to 30 kilometers a week. So per every hour that they're intending to run, how much of this sort of non-negotiable work should they be doing, do you think?
You're probably looking at the smart, sensible things. You can make big gains from doing the right things rather than doing hours and hours and hours of the wrong things. And one of the things for me is calf strength and foot strength. And certainly when I was a marathon runner, that was one of the things that I would do. I would do my calf raises before I'd even taken a step inside the front door. I would know then by the time I got in the shower, I'd done my calf strength work and I'd done my calf stretches because I can do them on the same step. And that only needs to take 3 or 4 minutes. But if you're doing those calf raises every single time you've been for a run, then that's 3 or 4 minutes interspersed through the week, plus your calf stretches afterwards. So that's your non-negotiable for your calves, done and in the bank. And it's when those things start to slip or you have an injury and you don't gain that spring and that power back in the feet and the tendons that then things start to break down if you're, you know, if you're looking at lower limb
problems. So we need to be doing the stuff afterwards. We need to be doing our stretches, the specific stretches, and we need to be doing them properly, and we need to be doing this strengthening work. What about before we go running? Is it just, I know most people neglect the warm-up when they're actually running, but I guess there's stuff that we need to do before we even take a step, isn't there?
Yeah, and again, I think that's where the physiotherapist or your coach can actually help you to identify things and, you know, the pre-activation work. So, you know, if you're going to be doing a track session, that may be drills to actually get your body moving and the muscles activating in the right way. And I always say to people, you know, if you know that, for example, your quads are very tight, your hip flexors are very tight because they're the things that you've got issues with because of all the cycling, before you run, you need to stretch out the tight bits and you need to activate the bits that are a bit sluggish, which in most people's case will be the glutes. So by doing those two particular things, by stretching the quads and the hip flexors, you're allowing the glutes to work better. And then if you pre-activate them, then they will work better for you when you're running. So you almost get a double whammy of strength training while you're running. So it's ways of little playing around with things so that you can actually maximize the training and the, you know, the muscles that you're strengthening while you're doing it.
If you ask triathletes what you mean by smart training, they think it's you having a power meter, having a GPS, you know, knowing what your heart rates you should be in. But to me, this is smart training. It's making the most effective use of your time. It's maybe cutting out a little bit of the running, maybe the bit at the end where you get tired and you start running with poor form, and adding in this sort of stuff. And also, you and I know that if we mention the word strength and conditioning to triathletes, they immediately think of muscle-bound guys in the gym, bench pressing and squatting lots of weights. And clearly that isn't what you want to be a good triathlete. But this sort of work, this prehab and rehab and post stuff, comes under the strength and conditioning banner, doesn't it? Because you're strengthening and conditioning the joints and the muscles to accept the loading that triathlon training places on them.
Exactly. And you're also training your body to maintain, you know, in inverted commas, a perfect technique. And in my book, if you've got great technique, the likelihood that you'll break down is much, much, much less. So any of this conditioning work, so again, you know, you talk about the strengthening work behind the back of the shoulders and your upper back, it's really important to maintain technique. And the more you lose your technique, the more there's a couple of things that are happening there, is you're retraining or you are training your body to move badly. Because when you come in, that's the last thing that your body will have been remembering to do, is how to run badly or how to swim badly.
Yeah.
And you're also not letting those muscles work. So, you know, it's just being smart about the way you do things. And I think you're absolutely right. That last 5 minutes where your technique's terrible, is there any gain from that?
And, you know, for those of you listening, if you get injured, firstly, you can't run. Running's the one sport you can't really do unless everything's 100% healthy. But this is the sort of work you'll get prescribed by the physio. So in order to save yourself pain, expense and frustration, you better start doing this stuff beforehand. Then you won't need to go and visit Alison. Unfortunately, I'm taking money out of the physio's pocket there. But I'm sure Alison would rather be helping people to run better than just dealing with frustrated athletes. Right, now listen, Alison, we've got 1 minute and 15 seconds left. So I said to you at the beginning, I did give you a bit of a heads up on this. I asked you, what was the secret sauce to saying healthy? And you said there isn't one, Simon. So boring, it's just plain old stuff that we've just talked about. But if you can give us a five-step process, a five-step plan to success that people should be following this winter so they don't end up in the physio room, what would it be? Very quickly.
Number one, calf strength and length, non-negotiables. Stability, you need stability so you can keep going for a long time without wobbling around and becoming injured. Mobility of the upper body and lower body, and obviously keeping everything moving. Glute strength is absolutely vital. And rest and recovery is the other one I'm going to put in there. Really, really important and often underlooked, particularly in endurance athletes. And the older people get, the more those things become important.
Rest and recovery. Who would have thought that triathletes would need that? Surely it's just about fitting all that training in, and the last man standing wins the game.
Interestingly, one of the things that Jessica Ennis said is the biggest thing that she learned from an injury that she had in 2008 was the fact that rest and recovery is really, really key to obviously staying fresh and healthy. And, you know, I think that, and that at that point she was only about 25. So, you know, it is so important to stay fresh, stay healthy, and just keep everything working the way it should do.
Okay, so there you have it. rest and recovery, do less training, do more prehab, all the things that you take for granted or perhaps put to one side in order to get that extra running. You've heard it. I wouldn't like to liken you to a horse, Alison, but you've heard it from the horse's mouth. So anyway, before we go, listen, I've got some quick questions. These have got nothing at all to do with triathlon or injury rehab, but I wanted to just put you on the spot and ask you what you thought about these, right? So they're an either or. You've got to choose one. Okay, you ready? Quick fire. Uh-huh. Instant answer required. Pepsi or Coke?
Coke.
Arnie or
diet.
Arnie or Stallone?
Ooh, Arnie.
Blur or Oasis?
Oasis.
Sweet or savoury?
Savoury.
Wine or beer?
Wine, unless I'm watching the rugby.
So it's beer tonight then.
Exactly.
Pizza or pasta?
Pasta.
Blondes or brunettes?
Brunettes.
The girls keep saying to me, why should I answer that one? Well, surely you have a preference, a blonde guy or a brunette guy. I don't know if guys can be called brunettes. But anyway, listen, Alison.
That was my question. Can guys be called brunettes?
Yeah, of course they can.
No, they're just called tall, dark and handsome.
Okay, so we have short, skinny and non-handsome, or tall, dark and handsome.
Tall, dark and handsome wins every time.
Excellent. So if you're injured, tall, dark and handsome, and you live in Leeds, you can go right to the front of the queue at the coach house. And while we're on that, why don't you just give us your web address, Alison, so we get it right? So
it's www.cfpc.co.uk.
Okay, so www.cfpc.co.uk, and that is the Coach House Sports Physiotherapy Clinic. They're based in North Leeds in Headingley, not far from Leeds Beckett University, where the Leeds Performance Squad train. It's the place to go if you want physiotherapy and you're an injured and competing athlete in Leeds. It's been great having you on the show, Alison. I was going to ask you about 4-foot running, but it'll have to wait until another time. But I know that's a hot topic that we both have an interest in. So maybe we'll get you on for another call. But for the moment, thanks very much for your time. And for everybody listening, this is the SWATcast. I'll be back next week with another special guest. So until then, keep training and stay healthy. Bye for now.